this morning, please, and open up to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. We're going to start with verse number 1. We're going to read the first four verses of chapter 42 of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 42. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment to the truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for this morning. Thank you for the subject which we're about to learn from. We ask that you encourage us and strengthen us and teach us your truth. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I was listening to a news report a few months ago. And in the report it said Cleveland, Ohio was the second darkest city in America. What they meant was, during the winter months, there is less sunlight in the city of Cleveland than anywhere else except for Chicago, Illinois. I found that to be an interesting statistic. This week I was speaking to a doctor, and the doctor told me that because this is a dark area, many times people are deficient in something called vitamin D. That vitamin D is called the sunshine vitamin. It comes from the sun. Many people get discouraged and depressed when they're low on vitamin D. So the doctor was telling me that oftentimes people in the Cleveland area during the winter months become discouraged. And I thought, if that's true then, even though we just live here in Cleveland, I know that's true with Christians. In the winter months, it seems like we get discouraged easily. And I want you to notice what it says in verse number 4. It says, he shall not fail, nor be discouraged. So the Bible's teaching us that there must be a way to deal with discouragement. So this morning, I want to speak to you on this subject, dealing with discouragement. Dealing with discouragement. Again, Father, we ask that you bless now. Speak to our hearts as we look at this truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe this verse teaches us that Jesus will not be discouraged while he's here on this earth. However, the word discourage in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse number 4 is not defined the same way we would define that word in today's vernacular. When Isaiah uses the word discourage, what he meant is this. What that word means there is wouldn't be stopped or slowed down. I do believe that discouragement often is a result of slowing down or even stopping. A discouraged person, when we get discouraged, slows down their Christian life. We don't read the Bible like we used to read it. We don't attend church like we used to attend it. We don't give out the gospel like we used to give it out. We find reasons just to sit and kind of maybe survive. And sometimes it brings us to a grinding halt in our Christian life. I wish I wouldn't get discouraged. Though I must admit that there's times that I do. As a helper of people, as a pastor, I counsel many who are discouraged. And I believe this message will better help you and I overcome discouragement as it comes our way. Let me give you some things. Why people get discouraged. Section 1, if you will. Why people get discouraged. Number 1. Sometimes people get discouraged as a result of feeling the opportunity of success is gone. Sometimes people get discouraged as they feel the result of an opportunity to succeed is really not what it used to be anymore, or it's gone. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., a great preacher of years gone by, said, "The test of your character is what it takes to stop you. Often when someone makes a mistake, he feels that he can never have an opportunity to do right. Watching someone else receive a coveted award or an honor can be a discouragement that all ages experience. And sometimes that discouragement comes because we think that opportunity for success is gone. May I say this with Jesus, there's never a time in which opportunity is not there to succeed. Everywhere you go and everywhere I go, God provides for you and I a way to succeed in the Christian life. As I've gotten older, there were many times in my life I have felt that if I would have done this different, or if I would have done that different, things would have turned out better. But as I've gotten older, I've learned that God intended for them to turn out that way, so it would take me to this step. And then it would take me to that step. And it would take me here, and it would take me there. And oftentimes I haven't liked the ride. But it's the ride that He wanted us to be on. Sometimes I haven't liked the results, but it was the results that God was looking for. I was talking to a young preacher the other day, and I said, not every pastor is called to do the exact identical same thing. Every pastor is called to be this, the servant of Jesus Christ. And that servant must do different things. Every servant has different responsibilities. Not everybody is an Isaiah. Not everybody was a Jeremiah. If you know much about Jeremiah, I'm glad not everybody was a Jeremiah. I'm glad I don't have to go around the city eating dung. I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't enjoy that. I'm glad that everybody isn't a Noah. And while everybody gets destroyed around them, they survive in an ark. I'm glad that not everybody is a Moses. But if you looked at Moses' leadership and David's leadership and those that were in the Bible's leadership, God gave everybody different jobs. Every one of the apostles had different responsibilities and did different things for Christ. And so that is the way the Christian life is. Not every Christian has an identical job. All of us are to be the servants of the King. But not everyone is supposed to be the exact same kind of person. Number two, sometimes people get discouraged because of selfishness and envy. Sometimes people get discouraged because of selfishness and envy. Some people get discouraged and are bitter over the success of someone else. They make statements that use prominent words such as my, mine, I. These statements like this are made. I didn't make the cheerleading squad. I didn't get to be on the basketball team. I didn't get the raise at work that the other person got. I didn't get this job and I should have gotten it. I'm better than they are. I didn't get to be the church bus captain. I didn't get to be the song leader at the church. I didn't get elected deacon. Instead of being excited for someone else's success, a selfish person becomes discouraged because they didn't get what they wanted. We teach our children all the time, don't listen, they got that, they earned that, they have the right to that. Don't be jealous of them. Yet when it comes to the Christian walk as adults, oftentimes we forget the very lessons we taught our own children. We say, I wish I should have had that, or I should have been that way, or I should have been the one at work to get this. I should have been the one that was praised for this thing over here, or I should have been the one that got the pat on the back. I was the one that showed everybody that. And oftentimes we get discouraged because we're selfish. We want something for ourselves. And yet discouragement shouldn't be there because the selfishness shouldn't be there. Number three, sometimes people get discouraged when success does not come immediately. Sometimes people get discouraged because success doesn't come immediately. We're the immediate generation. I like to call us the McDonald's generation. We want it now, we want it hot, we want it fresh, and we want it at this moment. Just exactly this way. We're not a patient people like we should be. Watching others achieve when we ourselves are struggling often is a cause for discouragement in a Christian's life. This discouragement is often a result of comparing ourselves to other people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse number 12, it says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So God says we're not ought to be measuring ourselves against somebody else. Listen, if somebody else is successful, praise God for that. If another church is doing well, praise God for that. If another Christian is having success in their life, we ought to praise God for that rather than feeling bad or being discouraged because we don't have that immediate success that we want in our life. If it doesn't happen right now, we stop. It's like a stoplight. We get impatient for a stoplight that is less than a minute and waiting for it to change. Oh, come on, we want to go now, go now, go now, go now. We cut things so close in our life that we constantly are in a rush to get someplace. We say, oh, I got so many minutes to get there, and oh, that light's keeping me too long. I'm going to be late for work. I'm going to be late for this. And we push ourselves and push ourselves because we cut things so close, oftentimes. I mean, it leads us to discouragement because we are people that want things immediately. We want an immediate, every time we get a new coach in the Cleveland Browns, we want an immediate success. We expect the next season to win the Super Bowl. Well, that's not exactly how it works. It takes time to build things. It takes time to build a home. It takes time to build a life. It takes time to build a Christian life. When I was a young Christian, there was a song about building that talked about how that it was never done. There's always work to do. I'm not complete yet. I'm always building. I'm always building. And that's the way the Christian life is. It's always building. I don't ever arrive. I'm constantly learning more, constantly learning new. I'm constantly growing and developing. I'm not there yet. I don't have all the answers, but I know who does have all the answers. And I keep running back and running back and running back and running back and keep building my life and keep building my life and keep building my life so I can be for Christ what I need to be. So I can be for others what I need to be. So I can do the work that God intends for me to do here on this earth. Saying I'm not as good as a housekeeper as she is, or I'm not as good a worker at work as they are, and I'm not as good a student as they are in school, doesn't help us become better. All it does is lead us to discouragement. What we need to do is strive to be the very best that we can be. Oh, I hear young preachers talk, oh, I wish I was just like D.L. Moody. I wish I was like R.A. Torrey. I wish I was like this preacher here or that preacher there or this example here or this example there. You know what? You just need to be the very best person who you are. That's all God wants. He doesn't expect us to be somebody else. He expects us to be the best that we can be. The Bible says we're not wise. We go around comparing ourselves to other people. Number four. Sometimes people get discouraged when they don't have a purpose or a plan for their life. Sometimes people get discouraged when they don't have a purpose or a plan for their lives. They're just living their life. I often find the reason many people get discouraged and quit their Christian life is because they have no plans on how to stay successful in their Christian walk. They're discouraged because they want to amount to something, but they have no direction. When a person wonders why he's doing something, beware, discouragement cannot be far behind. So what we need to do is get a purpose and a plan. We become inactive Christians when we don't have a purpose for what we're doing. We have not a plan to finish all the work. So it'll cause discouragement. We get discouraged because we don't have a Bible reading plan. We don't have a soul winning plan. We don't have a plan to get out and give the gospel to others. We don't have a plan of what the next step of our Christian life is. We're not striving to improve. We're just trying to survive. And when we don't have a plan on survival, we don't even want to survive. When you have no future in your mind of what you want to do, you get discouraged. The same is true of every aspect of your life. If you're not trying to go to the next step in your job, if you're not trying to become a better teacher than you were last year, not comparing yourselves to others, but growing in your own self. When you're not becoming a better worker at work because you're trying to grow within your own self. When you're not trying to become a better student than you were last quarter or last semester because you're not trying to improve yourself. You don't have a purpose, so you don't strive for it. And that not striving for it brings discouragement because there's no purpose for what you do. So we need to have a purpose. I got saved 35, 36 years ago. Shortly after I got saved, God called me to preach. And I mean shortly, I mean within a month. God called me to preach. I fought Him off for almost 3-4 weeks. I fought Him off and fought Him off. I didn't want to be a preacher. In fact, today if I couldn't be a preacher, I'd be happy. But then I also know that I wouldn't be living up to what God has called me to do. And I didn't want that. And I fought it off. Then I learned that, okay, I give in. And it's always brought new purpose to my life. For the first time in my life, after I received Christ as my Savior, God had given me a purpose to breathe. I was kind of out there like everybody else. I was just doing what I thought was fun to do at the time. Oh, okay, I was making money, and it's okay. I mean, it's no big deal. But now I have a purpose, and now I have a drive, and it keeps going in me, and it keeps going in me, and it keeps going in me. And for all these 35, almost 36 years, it's never gone away. I keep having that drive and that desire to continue to do for God what God has called me to do, and what God has called me to do, and what God has called me to do, and what God has called me to do. Why? Because I have a purpose for my life. What is your purpose? If you don't have a purpose to become better and to improve your life and live for a reason. When it's easy when you become a parent, your purpose are your children. But one day your children are going to graduate from high school and go off to college. And then you're going to have to change your purpose. Because if your purpose is nothing but your children, then when your children are gone, you have no purpose. If your purpose is simply your job and becoming better for the company you work for, what are you going to do when your company goes out of business? Having lived in this area and grown up in this area and left this area and then come back to this area, it's amazing to me how many companies that once were here, strong, noble companies that were the center of the city in this town, that are completely gone now. Don't even exist anymore. You go downtown and there's a bunch of buildings that used to be great buildings of success. Now they're trying to fill them up with other things. Because nothing stays the same. So all you're doing is living for your job. What happens if your job goes out of business? What happens if they move up and go to a different town or a different city? I have some dear friends and they've moved all over the country following the kind of job that they have, because every time they get busy somewhere, it closes down in that location. And they say, if you want to work for us, then you're going to have to move here. So they move over there and they get their life settled. Then suddenly they say, oh, we're going to shut down this plant. So if you're going to go work for us, then you got to move here. And I think they've moved about 4 or 5 times just following that company, because that's their purpose. But what are they going to do when it's time to retire? And the company looks at you and says, you're 65 years old. You're done here. Time for you to retire. Some companies, you have to retire at a certain age. If that is your purpose, then what are you going to do when your purpose is over? Our purpose needs to be something that's eternal. Something that will drive us day by day by day by day for the Christian. Let me give you some help for discouraged ones. Part 2. Let me give you some help for those who get discouraged. Number 1, God's always, with God, there's always an opportunity for success. With God, there's always an opportunity for success. With God, there's always an opportunity for success. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 says this, Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. There's always new opportunities, new opportunities, new opportunities, new things to do for Christ, because with God, there's always an opportunity for success. I heard a story years ago, I love this story. A boy was playing baseball, and a man stopped to watch him. And so the man got out of his car to watch these boys in the sand lot play baseball. And he got out there and he stood next to a young player and he said, how's it going? And the kid said, great. He said, what's the score? He said, it's 100-0. He said, they're ahead. And the boy was so cheerful and encouraging. And said, the man looked down at the boy and said, aren't you discouraged? He said, no way, the boy said. We haven't been up to bat yet. No matter what happens in your life, God always wants to see you through it. God always has something new, something fresh, something to give you success at. But we got to walk with Him, and we got to talk with Him, and we got to get familiar with Him, and we got to be in His Word, and we've got to walk with Him so we can hear His voice as He's leading us to those new steps and those new directions that He has for your life and mine. Obedience is the best key to success with God if we'll just obey Him. How are we supposed to obey Him? By being in His Word every day. By praying every day. By giving out the gospel messages every opportunity we have. By being tithers. By being involved with the work that God's called us to do. By being involved with Him. God blesses us for our obedience. How do you make a child the very best that they can be? You teach them to obey. If a child won't obey, they can never be the success that they could be if they just learn to obey. I don't know how many times I was told in school, if you just listen to what I'm telling you, you'll be able to solve the problem. I'm giving you the answer. I've given you the formula. It's right here for you. If you just do it this step, then this step, then this step, you'll have the answer. It works every time, the teacher would say. And sure enough, when I learned to obey and do this step, then this step, then this step, boom, there would be the answer. And the truth is that's how we need to be with God. We need to learn to obey Him. He has a great work for every person to do, no matter where we're at in life, or what has come our way, or what has fleeing from us. And it seems that we've been unsuccessful and a failure. I was reading this morning in my Bible, and I'm reading it chronologically this year, so I'm a little bit behind some of those that are reading Old Testament and New Testament, or Old Testament through into the New Testament. And I was reading about Jacob coming back from serving Laban with his wives and his children, and he's afraid to approach his brother because he had stolen his brother's birthright and stolen his brother's heritage. And so he's on his way back, and he's failed at a lot of things. And he knows he's a failure, and he tells that to God in prayer. And I know there's no reason in the world you ought to answer my prayer, is what he's saying to the Lord as he prays. But I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to wrestle with you, and I'm going to wrestle with you. And sure enough, he wrestles with God until God gives him the answer he's looking for. Why? Because with God, there's always an opportunity for success. And then he meets his brother the next morning. And his brother gives him a welcome he never anticipated. Why? Because with God, there's always an opportunity for success. So don't give up. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on your life. God has a purpose. And the only thing we need to do is be obedient to Him so we can hear the opportunity that He's giving for you and I to be a success. As long as a person is alive, God still has a purpose for their life. Can I tell you when God's done with you? The day He takes you to heaven. Up to that moment, He has a job for you to do. Number two, don't become selfish. Don't become selfish. How can I help those who are discouraged? By remembering not to become selfish. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says this. Be kindly affectionate one towards another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. We must always keep our eyes on the needs of other people. Instead of saying, look at what I didn't get. Look at what I should have had. How come I'm not as happy as they are? I need to say amen and be glad when someone receives something. We ought to be rejoicing when someone so says, listen, this is what I've got. Well, praise the Lord. You know, you don't know whether God's fair or unfair unless you believe God's good. And if you believe God's good, then you know He's just and He's fair. And He gives every person that which he needs. And you don't know what's going on in that other person's life that's getting that success that you so wanted from that they had. So when we become selfish and we don't look towards other people, notice what it says in verse 10 of Romans chapter 20. In honor, preferring one another. That means putting someone else above ourselves. He would not give one of his child something that wasn't good for them. He wouldn't give something to one child that the other one deserved. God's good. He takes care of us. He's our Father. I've often used the term that the Bible uses, the word Abba, for the word Father. I was watching a television show the other day. It was about a week or two ago, and there's this, it's called NCIS, and there's a lady on there who's from a Jewish family. And her father gets killed. And she rushes to her father yelling, Abba, 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 meaning Papa, Daddy. And I was thrilled when I watched that. I was thrilled because all across the world, the word Papa and Daddy in the Hebrew tongue was being used so that we would understand, even as Christians, as we read our Bible, that God's just not our dad, our father. But He's our Daddy. He cares for me. It's an individual, personal relationship that I have with Him. And He would never give something to us that wasn't good for us, and never give something to someone else that we should have had. He will take care of us individually. He knows us personally. He knows what we need. He knows the direction we're going in. Perhaps the time's just not right for us to have that thing that we think we ought to have. Maybe He has something better for us in store. We should never worry about what we should have gotten. We should always be glad that someone else has succeeded. So don't become selfish. If someone receives something you desperately wanted or you thought you needed, we need to swallow our pride and our selfishness and our hurt. And congratulate and encourage that person for that step that's come in their life. Number three, nobody has immediate success. Nobody has immediate success. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 says this, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Growing up is a long process. It's not immediate. God's plan for His children is to grow. We see this principle in nature. A dog is a puppy before he becomes a dog. A man is a baby before he becomes a man. A flower is a seed before it becomes a flower. A cow is a calf before it becomes a cow. A hen is a chick before it's a hen. No person is born a success. We must learn to grow to become what we are. Not what we want to be, but what we are. The less time we spend being discouraged, the faster we'll grow then and become successful. Instead of wasting time on discouragement, then we need to use our time to grow. Years ago, I grew up in the city, so I didn't know anything about growing anything, though my grandparents had a garden. I never paid attention to anything. Then I met my wife, and she lived out in the country. And they had about an acre of land that they planted every spring. And so that year I got to go out and I got to plant some food with them. I worked the garden with my future mother-in-law at that time, and I worked out there, and I used a hoe, and we had another farmer come in the area come and turn over the ground, and then we broke up the ground and we made the rows and we planted the seed and we watered things and we got it all ready. And one of the things I liked was carrots, and I still like carrots. And I remember watching the carrots start to grow, and finally the green of the carrot started coming up out of the ground, and I went over and I pulled one out, boop, and it was just a white little anemic looking root. And I took it in the house and I showed it to my mother-in-law, and I said, "I thought we planted the carrots. What is this?" She said, "Well, you haven't given it enough time to grow. It has to grow." And she was right. Over time, through the rest of that spring and most of that summer, into what was late summer, early spring, early fall, did we see the harvest that we had started on in the early spring. It takes time. I think it's radishes that come and grow up really quick. You can get radishes about three times in a season, I think it is. But most things you have to wait on for a long time. It takes time. It takes time for that ear of corn to grow off that stalk. It takes time for them taters to come up underneath the ground. It takes time for that salad or lettuce to grow into a nice big leafy vegetable that you can go eat. It takes time for those tomatoes to come up. It takes time. And they must be cared for the whole time. You got to kill the weeds around them. You got to kill the bugs around them. I remember one day we went out to the tomatoes, and there was this green worm on the leaf of the plant. And my mother-in-law said, "Oh my, we need to come out here with some powder and kill these," they call them tomato worms, because they'd eat the fruit of the tomato. And then you'd have no harvest. I didn't know that. I would have thought, "Oh, look at that." And I let it go. And it devoured that which is supposed to be there. It looked pretty. It looked like it belonged. And that's how sin is. It looks pretty. It looks like it belongs. But it destroys that which is alive. And that's what discouragement does to you and me. It destroys that which should be alive. So we need to grow. It takes time. We're not born full-grown Christians. We have to grow to that point. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 it says this, "But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." It takes time to grow. I was talking with a young Christian the other day. They're excited about reading their Bible, and I'm glad. And they don't understand why they don't understand everything yet in the Bible. And I said, because when a baby's first born, you know what it drinks? Milk. and can't eat the meat of the Word. But if you never drink the milk, you'll never get to the meat. It takes time. You have to grow a step at a time, a day at a time. Number four, find a purpose and organize your life. Find a purpose and organize your life. Find a purpose and organize your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 40, it says this, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Let all things be done decently and in order. If a person's purpose in life is to do the best at pleasing God and not man, he will not easily be discouraged. Man cannot be, men can and will be discouraged when we fall out of following what God has attempted and told us to do. However, if we'll stay encouraged, if we continue to work in the Lord's work, even if we seem to fail. A person's plan for life comes from the Bible. Therefore, he needs to read it on a daily basis to see what God's plan is for us. If we attend church faithfully and hear the preaching of the Word of God, that'll help us to work His plan, but it doesn't take the place of reading our Bible every day. I have a dear friend named Dr. Wendell Evans. He's a college president and personal friend. He's taught for many years three simple points to outline for success. Number one, plan your work. Number two, work your plan. And number three, don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked. I've heard the first two often. Plan your work and work your plan. But he added to it a third thing that I think is immensely important. Don't get sidetracked. Don't let the devil take you off to the side and get you off the job that you're supposed to do. Just keep on going and keep on going. No matter what it seems like to you, just keep on doing what you know God's commanded to do. And keep on doing what God's commanded you to do. Your life's not over, you're still alive. So keep on doing what you're supposed to do. Keep on doing what you're supposed to do. Keep on doing what you're supposed to do. What a simple, workable idea for any Christian not to be discouraged. Get a plan, work your plan, and don't get sidetracked. Organize our life so we'll be productive. We need to organize our life so we'll be productive. By doing so, we can organize discouragement right out of our life. So let me give you some things. Ready? Problem, our opportunity for success is gone. Solution, with God there's always an opportunity for success. Problem, we are selfish. Solution, we need to get our eyes off ourselves and be glad for others' success. Problem, we are not quickly successful. Solution, we need to realize we have to grow. And growth is a necessity. And it's normal. It's normal. Problem, we have a lack of planning or purpose of organization in our life. Solution, we need to utilize God's plan and purpose for everything and organize our life out of discouragement into success. So as 2012 continues to go down, or 2012 is done over. But as 2013 goes forward, then helps us to not be discouraged. Not be discouraged during the winter months. Not to be discouraged during the spring. Not to be discouraged during the summer. Not to be discouraged during the fall. And as we go back into the winter, how can I have a successful Christian life? We just learned this morning what God has for us. If we'll not be discouraged. I love what it says again in Isaiah 42. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. Nothing will stop Jesus Christ. What is it that stops you and me? What is it that takes us off the trail that God has for us? And I tell you, it's one word. Discouragement. Father, thank you for what we've learned today. Holy Spirit, help